Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program here. As always, you can bring up absolutely anything that you want to discuss. The number for you to join us is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And we might get Mark at some point here. Looked like there were some technical difficulties bringing him into the discussion. The number, though, if you want to join the discussion about whatever you want to talk about, is 603-283-6160. We got some pretty big news on the way here tonight in regards to the price of oil. It could be going up very, very soon. I mean, I don't know how soon, but it should be going up, given that apparently now OPEC and Russia are cutting production through the end of the year by over 1.6, I believe, billion barrels? I'll have to look at the numbers here. I thought I had them right in front of me. Yeah, over 500,000 barrels just from 1.6 million barrels. Anyway, we'll figure it all out. Per day. Yeah, okay, so that's a lot more than over 1 year. So we can talk about that on the way here. But also this Elizabeth Warren character who I've heard a lot about. I mean, I guess she's like a senator in Massachusetts, but I've never actually heard her speak until just recently. And there's a video from, I don't know if this is 60 Minutes or where it is. She's being interviewed by some mainstream media source talking about Bitcoin. And she's been in the Bitcoin-related news recently because she's forming what I guess she is calling an anti-crypto army.
You remember she was the one that was like, we need more cups on the beat. Last year about crypto.
Was that her? Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren, right?
Yeah, so it seems like she's been grinding an axe against crypto for some time. And she's got something to say here. I've got the clip, so we're going to play that coming up here.
More cops, more violence.
In other crypto-related news, the Twitter icon has been updated to be the Doge icon from Dogecoin. Elon Musk, apparently, before he bought Twitter, was actually when it was suggested to him to buy Twitter. It was just a conversation on Twitter that brought it to his attention, the idea of buying Twitter. And in that conversation, I forget if somebody else suggested it to him. I think they did. I think somebody else suggested to him that he could just change the logo from the little Twitter bird to the actual Doge dog, and he thought that was a good idea. And now here it is, about a year later. And he has done that. So,
what a great idea.
Yeah, and he didn't do it on April Fool's Day either, which is funny. He waited, I think, a couple days after, so who knows how long it's going to stay there. It
would have been way funnier if he did it on April Fool's. I didn't think about that.
I don't know, because then everybody would have thought it was a joke.
Yeah, but then it keeps going, and it's just even funnier.
Yeah, and we'll see how long it goes for. I suspect it's going to flip back to the bird at some point. But if you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. So this Senator Elizabeth Warren, I don't think I'd ever heard her speak before. She sounds a lot like a Mickey Mouse cartoon character here.
One of the worst teachers you could have that just gives you a headache after 45 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, well, you don't. I mean, ideally, you don't want your teacher to be stupid.
Oh, my God. Most of my teachers were stupid.
Yeah, that's
the teacher
that
ruined math for me was my fifth grade teacher. Math teacher that was dyslexic.
That seems like a bad thing for being a math teacher. But anyway, here's what she has to say from, I don't know if it's 60 minutes or whatever, but here it is.
With Bitcoin, there's no thing that backs it up. And that's what makes it different. It's just...
Okay, so...
Why already?
Yeah.
There's no thing that backs it up.
There's no thing that backs up your money. And what you're going to hear in this clip is she's projecting the entire time. Everything she says about Bitcoin is true about fiat money, the U.S. dollar, the euro, the Japanese yen, you know, Chinese yuan, you name it, if it comes from a central bank.
It's in the definition of the word fiat money.
Yeah, which is just a declaration by the king, right? That, oh, this has value.
Yep.
Backed by absolutely nothing. But this is a common misconception, so perhaps she could be forgiven for not understanding this. A lot of people don't. We just had this question, I think, over the weekend by one of our callers asking, you know, well, what is it that backs up cryptocurrency? And it's certainly not backed in the traditional sense like gold or silver is behind it, although there are some what you call stable coins that actually do have like an ounce of gold behind them. So those do exist. But Bitcoin is backed, and cryptocurrency in general is backed by the network effect, backed by the actual power of the computers, the thousands of computers that are running the Bitcoin software, doing the Bitcoin mining, verifying the Bitcoin transactions, that are doing that 24 hours a day. Every 10 minutes, a block is mined onto the Bitcoin blockchain, which is decentralized. It's a decentralized ledger. It's a distributed ledger, meaning that there are copies of it all around the world. And the fact that there's these thousands and thousands of computers that are working to secure this network and make it so you can use it, although Bitcoin isn't the most useful of cryptocurrencies because it's been arguably purposefully crippled for the last 5 or 6 years.
But ignoring that, it's kind of backed by human action.
What do you mean by that?
It's backed by humans deciding that it's worth something and putting their effort into it.
Well, the effort in this case is the Bitcoin mining and the running of the Bitcoin
and
software.
Computers.
Because just saying that humans think something's worth something is the definition of like...
It's an and putting their effort into it.
Right. Because otherwise you would just be talking about fiat currency where people think it's worth something, so therefore it
is worth
something. No,
because they don't have to do anything. The dollar owners don't have to do anything. They're just like, I think this is worth something.
Right, that's the only part I was talking about. Oh. People think that the dollar is worth something, and so it's worth something. But if the people believe the dollar is worth less, then it will become worth less. And so that is part of...
Well, a dollar's worth something
Mark's
because...
His audio is working. Welcome, sir. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry about that. A dollar's worth something because the government demands of you tax. Probably about 30% of your income ultimately goes to tax. And it's supposed to be, from what I've read, the third largest cost that you have in your life. Number one being housing, number two being car, and number three being tax. So when the government says you can only pay us in U.S. dollars, then that's one of the things that gives it value. It sets a proportion, like, you know, this amount of dollars is equal to 1/10 of the value of your house, because that's what we say it is, because that's what we charge you in property tax. So it is tied to the cost of things, and the thing that gives it value basically is the government demands it from you.
Well, that's an interesting addition, I think, to the idea. But ultimately, if people don't believe that crap anymore, it's going to drop dramatically.
That happens.
Right?
But usually it happens when governments abuse it, and they just don't seem to be able to keep themselves from doing that.
Indeed. And you're talking about going into hyperinflation mode, and we can talk about maybe, you know, some more signs on the horizon that may be coming sooner rather than later. That's, I think, coming up a little bit later on tonight with this news about the oil, the barrel cut that they're going to be doing here, cutting over 1 million barrels per day oil production from OPEC. But let's just continue with this sadly, sorely misinformed woman, this Elizabeth Warren, who maybe she's misinformed, maybe she's purposely ignorant, maybe she's purposely propagandist. You can speculate on that here, but here's what else she has to say.
You and I assess. You assess the value is going to go down. I assess it's going to go up, and therefore I buy.
So it's more like this artwork.
No, because at the end of the day, I'm hitting that thing on my wall.
Right.
And I can enjoy it, or I can throw darts at it.
You could sell it for money.
Sure you can. But there are features about it that are the same, but it's not the same. And look, one of the things we have to remember about, there are a lot of things that come within this crypto world. So, for example, we could be talking about, instead of Bitcoin, we could be talking about digital currency. Now, that's something very different.
I think that's different, too. I buy that. I accept that.
That's right, because that's a government-backed electronic transfer.
And she's talking, of course, about the central bank digital currency here. Without using those terms.
Yeah, because, I mean, there could be a digital currency that isn't government-backed.
Well, yeah, that's what all of the cryptocurrencies are. But she's saying
I don't think that they should. I think they should abandon this this tact. I think that Elizabeth Warren has been giving talking points and told, go out there and get your liberal followers to accept the central bank digital currency. Get them to swallow it hook, line, and sinker like they did the vaccines, like they did with the Ukraine war. Get them to do it. That's your job, and we're going to reward you in the end. Don't worry, Lizzie. You're going to get what's coming to you. And I think that if the government is going to bring a digital currency, it should just bring it. Like, don't make a big deal about it or anything like that. Just bring the digital currency, and then people will accept it. Just say, we have new features for the dollar.
Right, but I'm not trying to give them any ideas, Mark, but I think that that would make people just accept it, because anytime there's, like, something, like, I'm trying to get a good example, like an iPhone, and then it gets an upgrade to a new thing, everybody's like, this makes blah, blah, blah so much more convenient, blah, 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 this update, blah, blah, blah. And if they just were like, we have an update to the U.S. dollar and just put it out there, I think that most people would accept it, like the most average iPhone user type person like me.
But you're saying that if they just put it out there without any fanfare?
Yeah.
So you're arguing Mark's point.
The more fanfare, the more likely that people are going to be like, wow, Elizabeth Warren, that's stupid what you're saying, and here's why it's stupid. Look how evil they are and stuff, you know? I'm not trying to give them any ideas.
I disagree with both of you guys on this. I think that the history shows that whenever the U.S. dollar has had a quote-unquote upgrade. Like, for instance, remember when they put the strips on? I don't know if you remember this, Bonnie. You're probably too young for it. But when they put the strips in the dollars, Mark, back 25, 30 years ago or whenever it was.
Was that? I thought that was like 3 years ago.
No. Maybe it was only two decades ago, but it's been some time. we were actually just watching a King of the Hill the other night from the late 1990s, and they were referencing when they made the heads big. Remember they used to have smaller faces on the dollars, and then they made them much, much larger.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that the strips came in at around that time, but I could be wrong about that.
And it was like 1996.
Yeah, that was a feature that was added later, Ian. So there were the big heads, mm-hmm. and then they made them the same color. They put the strips in them and made them the same color mm-hmm. as Monopoly money.
Well, anyway.
I think that that is just a big joke that the Federal Reserve played on us. Because if you look at it, the U.S. dollars are exactly the same colors. Not
it's close.
They have the same hue.
Yeah, it's like an off pink, like five is like an off pink green.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Joke's on you. but so they put these features in, and they always roll them out with a bunch of fanfare. They spend millions of dollars marketing their own currency. And in those cases, it really doesn't make a lot of sense because, you know, you have to use it for the most part. You certainly did in the 1990s. There was no cryptocurrency until Bitcoin came out in 2009. There weren't any meaningful alternatives besides maybe the Liberty dollar in the early part of the aughts. So,
but, Ian, this isn't about competition. This is about acceptance. So you remember with the story on the $2 bill where somebody tried to use a $2 bill and then, like, the cashier at Walmart called the cops, and I don't think they shot the person, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if you've got, you know, I mean, $2 bills aren't exactly commonplace, and a lot of people don't know about them. The younger you are, the less likely you are to know about them.
Right.
And so you've got young, redneck Walmart cashiers agreeing with each other that we should call the cops on this fake, obviously ridiculous $2 bill. And then the young cop comes up, and none of them seen a $2 bill. And then, you know, we got to shoot Granny or whoever it is over it.
Well, that didn't happen, I would hope.
They didn't shoot him, no. But I don't, not to my knowledge, did they shoot them. But something happened. Do you not remember this story?
No, I don't.
We had it on Free Talk Live at one point. Okay. And, you know, it's, we've been on the air for 20 years now, so it doesn't surprise me. But that's the thing is they're trying, what they're trying to do is educate the public so that they don't kill each other over the new fake monopoly money.
Well, that makes sense. In the case of the propaganda surrounding the ultimate launch of the CBDC, which so far has not yet, from what I understand, been approved. I understand there's a lot of talk about something happening this summer with what they call FedNow, rolling out in July, I believe it is. That's a interbank transfer system for now. Maybe some people are saying that FedNow is going to become the CBDC, or it is the beginning portions of launching the CBDC, but as of now, it's just for bank transfers to speed up the process and make them 24/7. So as far as I'm concerned, good for them on that. But the reason they're going to need propaganda here is because they're going to have to convince people to use this system.
Why? I really don't get why, Ian, because people will just do it if they are wake up one day and it's a thing.
But it won't be. They can't just cut off cash. They're not going to do that. That would cause way too much difficulty.
No, but I don't think they would have to.
Well, what do you mean?
Why would they have to cut off cash for a CBDC to be real?
Well, then why would the people just wake up one day and start using the CBDC if they still have cash and they still have credit cards? They're going to have to incentivize it.
Electronic, this is more efficient or convenient. Oh, so convenient. Like, I can just swipe my phone. Why do people use Apple Pay?
I don't know. Do you use it?
No.
I don't know anyone who uses it.
Everyone uses it.
You live in Keene, New Hampshire.
Yeah,
you,
city thing.
You live in a duplex built in 1870.
People,
I mean, come on.
It's a city thing. You're going to see that in, like,
people
Manhattan
used it at the, no, people use it at the Moose Mart when I worked
is
there.
Is that right?
Like, pretty often.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, just because some people don't use Apple Pay doesn't mean other people won't. And let's not forget that a digital bank, what is it called? Bank,
central bank digital currency?
Central bank digital currency is a good idea in so much as it will create a better U.S. dollar.
No,
it now won't. You can store it. It won't?
No, it'll be completely controlled from the central bank, and they can shut you off anytime they want. They can, based on, let's say, you've got a social credit score, which could very well be introduced, then they can cut you off from being able to use the dollar, the CBDC dollar, the digital dollar, whatever they end up calling it, in certain ways. So, oh, well, now you can't buy steak anymore, and you can't, but you know, can only buy canned food or whatever because you're not in the in crowd or whatever. They can put whatever kind of restrictions on this they want. They can freeze your account whenever they want. I mean, obviously, it's easy right now for the IRS or FBI or whoever to waltz into any bank with a, you know, with an order in their hands and get the bank to do whatever they want to. But at least they have to drive down there or hit the fax machine or something like that
first. All they have to do is pick up the phone, send an email, or do whatever.
Yeah, but at least there's
the possibility to, like, hide things with cash and stuff like that, but it's crouching in closer and closer. I agree with Ian on this one. It doesn't make anything better. It's just that the simpletons will think it's better. That's all I agree with Mark on.
Right, indeed. The simpletons get what they want. Like, they've spent, what? I mean, I don't know how long, but they've become very successful in the last 5 years of splitting Americans, splitting us in half. And half of Americans would love, Bonnie, to see you suffer. They would love it. I mean, they oh, yeah, you know, I can like this? Awesome. You know, here's a little like. This lady didn't put up her Ukraine flag on her Facebook profile, and off she goes to the gulag, right? And, I mean, just it's the whole thing. They want that, and that is a feature. But also the, you know, a feature is that you can keep your money right on your phone, and you can bank right there from your phone
people
and,
already
and do
have
it very
that.
Easily.
They already have PayPal. They already have their bank apps. They already have Venmo or Cash App or whatever. So what the government has to do to sell CBDC is they're going to have to sell it. They're going to have to market this as somehow more convenient. And
maybe they'll just make it legal, Cash App and Venmo and all the stuff when they
be a drastic
anymore.
Step, and they're not going to take that right away because they don't want to. They don't want to go all in into the CBDC and cut out all of their banking buddies, because you have to remember the bankers are part of the Federal Reserve. They are the Federal Reserve, the big bankers, the Bank of America, the Chase Bank, these guys. So they're going to
have to come up with some
system that makes those guys happy.
You missed something here, Trump. stopped the connection between deposits and money. So now big banks, who already are the Federal Reserve, because the Federal Reserve is a conglomerate, of big banks. I know. But they don't need your money anymore. They don't want it anymore. They just want you to borrow from them now. Now they don't need your deposits. Deposits were always a money loser. They were always a loss leader. That's mm-hmm. why they had to charge for them a little bit and that kind of thing. What they want you for is they want you for your mortgage and your car payment and these sorts of things. That way they can make, you know, double the amount of your mortgage in 30 years. They want you to be their debt serf and they don't care anymore. So it's on its way already. They don't want it. They don't want to be the bank. They don't want to be the
customer service. They're making a ton of money off of credit cards, right? So, like, they're making 2, 3%, maybe even more if you're talking about Discover, et cetera, you know, 5, 6%. They're making that on every single transaction. This is a multi-billion dollar per year industry. And FedCoin, or whatever you want to call it, the CBDC, has the potential of making that go away. So they're going to have to come to some sort of a deal where not only can they still issue loans, they can still do credit cards, there can still be some sort of a banker's system where credit and all that stuff and loans still exist, but also the government has their CBDC. And I think what you're going to see,
here's the deal. Here's what they want, what they're going to do for them. They're going to kill off all the local banks.
That's already in process right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean, all you have to do is look around to see what they're going to do, because they're doing it.
Yes, there are, since the Silicon Valley Bank situation, since they imploded, people have been moving their funds from regional and local banks out to big banks like Chase and Bank of America, and under the mistaken belief that that somehow means that their money is safer. But that is what we're seeing. And then, of course, those banks are going to gobble up the smaller banks when they ultimately fail. And then, you know, you may be down to 5 or 6 mega banks at the end of the day. Somebody posted a chart recently showing the number of banks in the United States, and, like, I don't know if it was the last 100 years or whatever, but it's been just constantly going down. And there's only like 4,000 now, and there used to be something like tens of thousands of banks out there. So it's definitely been going in that direction. But I think what you're going to see happen with the CBDC, to roll it out at least, they can't just sell it based on, oh, it's going to be more convenient. They need to give you a reason to sign up, and the reason's going to be a check. The equivalent of a check.
Yeah.
They gave out checks for that $1,400 or the $1,200 or whatever it was at the beginning of COVID, and then they gave out checks again. And they're just going to say, hey, look, we got another handout for you here because times are tough. Gas prices are $7 a gallon. We know times are tough. So here's your $2,000 gift from the federal government. But in order to get it, you're going to need to sign up for this new CBDC.
That'd be nice, because then I'd be able to opt out of taking their charity.
Well, indeed, for the time being, when the parallel systems still exist until they finally wipe out cash entirely. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has a warning for anyone heading into the city ahead of tomorrow's court appearance by former President Trump.
Our message is clear and simple. Control yourselves. New York City is our home, not a playground for your misplaced anger.
Adams says any potential demonstrators will be arrested for any vandalism or violence. The death toll from weekend storms across the Midwest and South has now reached 32. Those deaths reported in Tennessee, Illinois, Alabama, Mississippi, Indiana, and Delaware. The storm outbreak began Friday with over 50 tornadoes reported in 7 states. There's a concern that the bacteria linked to tainted eye drops imported from India could gain a foothold in American healthcare facilities. The CDC says that bacteria is highly drug resistant. Earlier this year, the FDA issued a recall of EsriCare artificial tears. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Here, and you can join the show if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. We started out with a clip, and there's a little bit more to play with Elizabeth Warren yammering on some sort of national interview about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, acting like, oh, there's just nothing behind it, and comparing it to the artwork on her wall, but saying that it that the value is arbitrary, and that but you can't hang a Bitcoin on a wall. And somebody online made the point that you can print out your private key or your public key or whatever, and you can hang that on the wall if you really wanted to. But
it bears mentioning that we also have been to many, Free Talk Live has been to many Bitcoin-oriented conventions, and we have seen on multiple occasions art that is centered around cryptocurrency. So, I mean, sure, Bitcoin never claimed to be art, and I think that art is a poor stand-in for currency. But, you know, both of them are things that have appreciated, and, you know, I mean, you can find some art that appreciates. Most of it's junk that you find at, you go to the secondhand store and get for much cheaper. But, you know, some of it appreciates, and that's probably true with cryptocurrencies, too. Most of them are junk that depreciate and end up in the digital equivalent of a secondhand store.
I do like the gold back as art as currency. You can actually use some of the most beautiful gold with just incredible art on it.
There's plenty of times when people just say, I'm going to hang this on my wall, like business owners. and we give it to them as a tip.
Yep, that's true, just because they are that gorgeous. If you haven't seen those yet, you can check them out at goldback.com. They're not a sponsor, but we're big fans here on Free Talk Live. So
I would point out, though, that Shire Free Church had both Bitcoin and goldbacks and a physical Bitcoin confiscated during the raid in March of 2021.
That's correct.
Yeah, because it's so useless. Yeah, why does the government want them then?
Two of those things, the physical ones, stayed in the government's hands, and one of those things, the digital one, did not.
Okay. The number here is 603-283-6160.
Do you understand the feature? What I'm saying is that the government thought that they had taken Bitcoin from you, and they didn't because of its nature. They can't take it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Anyway, let's go on back to the interview here with Senator Elizabeth Warren. She's talking to, I think it was Meet the Press or something like that. Anyway, she's talking about Bitcoin. We ended up going off about central bank digital currencies, which some countries of the world have been trying to implement. And, of course, Nigeria is actually one of the first countries to release the CBDC. And it has been to very little interest of the people of Nigeria. The numbers that we saw earlier this year was about 0.5% of the Nigerian people have adopted the CBDC there. So the government got a little desperate on their rollout, and they basically threatened everyone, and they said, we're going to get rid of the Nigerian Naira, the old bills that they had, and replace them with new bills. They're not going to get rid of cash, but they were essentially requiring everyone to exchange out their old cash with new cash. Otherwise, the old cash would no longer be accepted anywhere. And so along with that process, they didn't provide the banks with enough new cash to replace all the old cash that people were coming in and trying to exchange. And as a result of that, the people of Nigeria, many of them took to the streets with various different implements of destruction and started destroying bank fronts and bank signs and bank ATMs. And we haven't seen any updates on that in some time. So if you've been following what's going on in Nigeria, would love to hear from you. The number is 603-283-6160.
I'm trying to find out how many Nigerians use Apple Pay, but it's like not easy. It says it's available there, but it's not easy to find. I don't see anything that tells me how many people.
Yeah, there are a lot of people with phones. So technology, as far as cell phone, smartphone usage, is very highly used in Africa these days. But the whole CBDC rollout has basically been botched because they haven't really given people the incentive to make the switch over to CBDC. And when they tried to use the stick instead of the carrot, they got a bunch of people with metal rods in the streets literally destroying the fronts of bank buildings, going into banks, literally scaring the bankers so much. The bankers, there's video of bankers going out the back door in their facility and then putting a ladder up to climb over the barbed wire wall that they had behind the bank to try to escape from the angry crowd that was in their, coming into their bank lobby, basically. So the stick approach did not work in Nigeria. Maybe it'll work with the United States, but the best approach is the carrot, to give people some sort of welfare. Maybe roll out a UBI, the universal basic income, and say, hey, it will give you $300 a month or $500. It'll cover your gas bill if you just sign up for this Federal Reserve wallet. And if they do that, then they will absolutely have no trouble getting most Americans to take the mark.
I couldn't find how many Nigerians use Apple Pay, but right here this says 92% of all the mobile wallet payments done in 2020 in the U.S. were made with Apple Pay.
Wow. Okay. It's impressive.
So here's the idea, Ian. I got it. I don't know whether I should say it on the air, but here's the idea. If you roll out the fare tax at the same time, then people can get their monthly fare tax payment. I don't know what they call that thing. Mm-hmm. And then you make it so that you make the tax system, which is already Byzantine, impossible to do and impossible to fill out accurately. And 50% of the questions you ask the IRS, they get wrong. their own questions, simple questions. Make it even more difficult to do by saying, hey, if you pay with our digital, our central bank digital currency, then we'll run you under the fair tax system. If you pay with the old bad money, you're gonna pay under the old income tax system, and you know, incentivize them that way.
Could very well be. Time will certainly tell. Let's get back to Senator Elizabeth Warren in her interview with some mainstream media source here. She's talking about her opinions about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency.
That's right, because that's a government-backed electronic transfer. And it can be denominated in dollars. It can be denominated in euros. It can be denominated in some new language that's made up.
That was so telling right there.
Wow.
Some new language that's made up.
Can you map?
That is the truth about, not in the case of government currency. I mean, yeah, there's math involved in running
a ledger,
but making
a joking parallel about cryptocurrency. So I thought she was trying to dig at cryptocurrency.
I think she misstated language for currency when she said it, but all government currencies are made up.
Yeah, that's really the point. Yeah, that was the sort of the Freudian slip there.
But that has something that backs it up. It has a government that
backed up by an imaginary idea.
Right, because that's all the government is.
That's what I mean, though, when I say it's backed by the government. When I explained it previously, governments demand from you their currency in the form of tax. So you have to have it in order to appease them. So it makes it a lot easier to just transact in it. If 30%, and this is, just an average, if 30% of the money that you're going to make in a given year needs to be handed over to the federal, state, municipal, whatever government that might be out there, then you need to have quite a bit of this stuff. I mean, that's a large portion of your income, 30%. And it should be the third highest thing on the list. So, yeah, that's what it means by backed by the government.
Well, what it used to mean, in order to have something backed, in order to have a currency backed, it used to mean, and it was true with the dollar at one time, it used to mean there was actual gold in a vault or silver in a vault.
Silver, usually, yeah.
Somewhere in the Federal Reserve System or whatever, or with the government or the Treasury or whatever it was, where you could go to and you could exchange those dollars for the actual precious metals that were backing them. That is what it meant, to be backed. Now, Elizabeth Warren can pretend like she doesn't know that. I mean, she's certainly old enough where she should know this. And somebody posted online today the old gold-backed note or whatever, because there were some that were backed by gold. I don't know if
there were
the larger notes or whatever, but
there's a $20 piece too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the silver or the gold eagle, I think is what that is.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, so those are real, and then they went away in the, I don't know if it was the 30s or something like that, back when they did gold confiscation.
Well, I'm pretty sure Mark is right that everything Elizabeth Warren says isn't just like, oh, what she thinks, it's what she is told to make her simpleton followers think.
Well, and that's the separation, right, is that they want very much for you to look at her followers as simpletons, and they want very much
for
her followers.
Well, people who don't think for themselves are simpletons.
NPCs, right? I feel the same way, Bonnie. I'm not scolding you. I'm telling you that we are following the breadcrumbs. The breadcrumbs are that our side says they're dumb, and their side says we're evil. And that's the playbook. It's as simple as it gets. And ultimately, that's where we come from. And I think that what most people think about money, if they think about it at all, is that at one point there was a silver certificate, and now we don't need them. We don't have them and don't need them. Huh, I wonder what happened to those. And they don't really know why. and they don't realize what happened at the Bretton Woods Accords. They don't know what happened with the Federal Reserve in 1913. They don't know the association of income tax to these things. They don't really get it. They don't know why the currency has devalued the way it has, because the currency has been devaluing at a relatively constant rate our whole lives.
I don't know if you're only talking about people your age, but I mean, that was a high level of understanding for most of the people I know on this in this country. Like, they're not like, why is the currency devalued? They don't even think like that. They, if anything, they're like, the price of goods are going up. Oh, scratch his head. Those greedy corporations.
Corporations, Republicans, Democrats, you know, George Soros. You pick out of the little list of acceptable people to hate and, you know, just fill in the Mad Libs of, you know, current political conversation.
Well, I think you're right that there's a lot of ignorance around the history of money in the United States. And I think the probably the most common belief you'll hear is the old refrain that money is the root of all evil. That is one of the most, you know, programmed responses when it comes to what, if you want to
use
that term,
the only motivation to make a lot of money is because you're evil. Yeah.
That's just what people believe about money. And you can't blame them for that, because ultimately the government money is evil, right? Like, the government money system, the fiat money system, enables evil.
It and corporations are, you know, enable people who would otherwise just be like, I need to make the most money for the, you know, employees in my business to, you know, make better lives for themselves. It gives them more incentives because it gives them partial government privileges and stuff. It's not just like, oh, a big business at that point. It's like little government.
Also, the Bible verse is the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm. But somehow or another, money is the root of all evil managed to get stuck in our general nomenclature. Mm. I've certainly heard the same thing, but it isn't. That isn't the ancient wisdom.
No, that's true.
You know, money was an important innovation for humans.
And that's why I love money.
Money's great.
Yeah, and it's important to use good money instead of bad money, and the federal money, the government money, is the bad stuff. But that's what Elizabeth Warren is here defending and
the
acting.
Bad stuff.
She's defending the bad stuff and acting like, well, if it's government-backed, then it's safe and everything's totally fine. You don't want to use this crazy new cryptocurrency. So, with the final thoughts here from Elizabeth Warren, if you can even call these thoughts, here they are.
That says, if at the end of the day there's a run on this stuff, everybody wants theirs out, the United States government promises there will be something to back it up. That's what banks are about. There'll be somebody there to back it up. But with Bitcoin, that's not the case.
So, she almost sounds like she's saying there, and a lot of people are interpreting what she said there as suggesting that there could be a run on Bitcoin, that people could go and demand their backing or whatever it is.
It's not backed by anything, but yet they can go demand their backing. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, she's saying you can't. She's saying that you can't do that with Bitcoin, but you can go and you can get your government money. The Federal Reserve is going to back up those banks, and you'll be able to go in there. The FDIC is going to back up the banks, and you'll be able to go in there, and you'll be able to withdraw your
$10,000. Well, that wasn't very clear. Made it sound more like she was saying, if there's a run on this stuff, you're going to be SOL.
No, she was talking about a run on the banks. I'll play it back here for you. This is what she said.
That says, if at the end of the day there's a run on this stuff, everybody wants.
Yeah, let me jump it back further.
But that has something that backs it up. It has a government that says, if at the end of the day there's a run on this stuff, everybody wants theirs out. The United States government promises there will be something to back it up.
Well, we all know that the United States government promises something. They always follow through on what they've promised, right?
Yeah, like Social Security. When I'm older, when I'm 64 or whatever, I'll get Social Security,
they promise.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when you make a deal with the devil, right, the devil has to abide by the contract. But you never sign that contract because you know that there's something hidden in there that you didn't think of.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you what the deal with the devil is in this statement. It is true. The United States government, or in this case, the Federal Reserve in all likelihood, but one of these two organizations is going to cover the run on the bank. they're going to make sure that you get your X number of dollars. If you've got, I don't know, you get your $5,000 in the bank, they're going to make sure you get your $5,000. Now, no promises that your $5,000 will be worth what it was when you put it in,
mm-hmm.
because I've heard numbers, and I don't even know how to figure out what is true, but my guess is that about 40% of all the U.S. dollars that have ever been created were created in the years 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023.
Yep, that's 40%.
Now, I've heard numbers that are even higher than that, but I've looked into it just trying to understand this, and that means that about, you know, they made about half of all the dollars in the last three or so years. That means that your money should be soon worth half as much. So if they give you $2,500 worth of value that's denominated at $5,000, then you're happy, right? Well, I got the same amount back. It's just denominated in this number, and I'm a happy, happy, happy guy.
Well, we already know that's how it works because people got $1,600 during COVID-19 while not caring that, like, all the prices went up. Or, you know, they're just like, I got my $1,600.
Woo! Right? I can spend it on Amazon.
Drugs.
And corporations... The big corporations became wildly wealthy. It was the largest transfer of wealth in human history, mm-hmm. from the poor to the rich.
Oh, yeah. They're
the largest ever. Now, I'm willing to say that COVID-19 was not some kind of government plot. But if it was,
it
worked.
Yep.
I don't know.
Right.
But
it looks like it was the National Institute of Health and their lab that they had that might have released this thing.
It certainly looks that way, doesn't it? But I don't think that they had that in mind, the idea that it would be the largest transfer of wealth in mind.
Why?
I think they just wanted...
Didn't Nancy Pelosi's husband buy a bunch of stocks and, like, masks and all that stuff, like, the day before it dropped?
Well, I mean, the masks, if you'll remember, masks weren't necessary initially. It was just like, you know... Shove a hanky down your throat. It's no big deal.
Well, then he's like 6 months ahead. He's like a psychic. I mean, or, you know, like 6 weeks ahead.
Well, this is what happens with all these politicians is they get the word, and if they keep their ear to the ground, they make millions. I mean, very, very few of them stay in for 5 years and don't walk out a millionaire. I mean, you know, there's a deal. There's a bargain for getting elected and following the course of things.
If you guys want to comment, you're welcome to join us here. Elizabeth Warren is also kind of taking up the mantle of being the leading politician against cryptocurrency. She is, according to Politico, building an anti-crypto army. The progressive Massachusetts Democrat is starting to recruit conservative Senate Republicans to her anti-crypto cause and getting some early positive vibes from bank lobbyists. Not a surprise.
Yeah.
Also want to rein in digital asset startups. Warren has emerged as a lead lawmaker on crypto oversight and is trying to build support behind a bill that would have sweeping implications for the industry via tougher anti-money laundering restrictions.
You know, what's one thing that will just keep people more positive about this whole situation? One of our friends went to a crypto meetup in Massachusetts, and there was 15 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone other than her was a Democrat that was, like, just really interested in crypto. They were like, I see the potential for this to help the poor.
Sure.
So the Democrats could wake up to this and be like, nah, forget you, Elizabeth Warren.
Well, there already are some who have seen her anti-crypto stance, and they have posted on social media saying, I used to support you. I'm never going to vote for you again. Because there are people on the left who are into crypto, and she's alienating every single one of those people. And you're absolutely right, Bonnie. It is a major reason to get into cryptocurrency because it can help the poor, because the poor can access this. And, of course, the bankers and the stockbrokers and the, you know, the money system people don't want that. They only want what they call accredited investors, people with over $1 million that they can access. They only want those people to be able to invest in things. They don't want the poor to be able to build wealth
for themselves. Well, they're protecting the poor that way.
That's what they say. But they're actually just protecting them from opportunities. They're protecting them. Because, look, poor people in a lot of cases are poor because of their choices. You know, they have bad habits, for instance. They are addicted to various different substances. But they're also prohibited from getting out of the sort of the trap of being poor.
Yeah, like, why don't you just start a business? It just costs, like, several thousand dollars in starting it up with taxes. Oh, wow.
Or $100,000 or whatever, right? Like, you have to...
Well, if you keep asking them, the price keeps going up. Hey, can I do this? Oh, absolutely. Here's a permit. That'll be $5,000. It just keeps on getting more and more if you ask. And this is exactly true, is that... They say that they're trying to protect the poor from making bad decisions, but don't forget that they were trying to protect the sick from new experimental drugs as they lay there dying, right? Like, well, you could get a pimple from taking this, this cancer drug. We don't want you to get pimples. We haven't done, 35, double-blind tests and all that stuff. They haven't turned over the billions of dollars to the FDA. Because, by the way, the FDA does no tests. Let me repeat that for you, ladies and gentlemen of America. This is really important. The FDA does no tests. Drug companies do tests.
That the FDA requires.
That the FDA requires. And they have to turn these over. And then, of course, there's all kinds of payments. The FDA has to pour over them and whatever. And they need lots of money to do that. And, it only takes 20 years while you die.
I go to the phones here. We got Olivia on the line in Arizona. Go ahead, Olivia.
Hey, I'm so glad to talk to you guys again. It's been a while.
Welcome. What's on your mind?
Ian, I mailed your letter, your plead for leniency today. I hope you get it in by the end of this week.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Olivia, in advance for that. What were you calling about tonight?
I work with a lady from Nigeria, so that's really interesting. I'm going to ask her if she's heard anything about them printing new currency and the cryptocurrency thing.
You hit some numbers on the phone there.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, great. Well, we'll put you on hold here. Hang on, Olivia. We're going to bring you back in hour number two. We'll continue the conversation. I think she's calling about something else. We'll find out what that is.
I bet she was talking in one of them African clicking languages.
We're going to continue.
I'm like a phone.
My number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. More on the anti-crypto army that Elizabeth Warren wants to build. And more coming up.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.